praise the Lord. We're in chapter 2, or actually chapter 3. Terror of the Lord. Or if somebody can read verses 6 and 7. It's very similar because it talks about the day of the Lord. I will read this portion. Do we have it? I read it slowly. Where are we? Oh. Revelation 6. I read it slowly. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll in the heavens, and rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of his wrath. Don't wait till then. Actually, if the Lord would judge us today, it is for our healing. But when the Lord comes back and would judge us then is the day of the Lord. And his terror would come over us. We should be wise and not wait till then. Unfortunately, many of us Christians think that nothing else is going to happen to us. That is not true. Read what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he even said all, inclusive of Paul. He did not say you all will appear, but we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this judgment is not for the unbelievers. It's for us. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul also said, we all must give an account before the Lord. That's no joke. If we have to give an account today, and if the Lord were to come today, we all have to give an account. Do you think you can pass? Today we spoke about his majesty and his glory as if it's something wonderful, but we have no idea that when the Lord appears and we see his glory and his majesty, we would have to hide ourselves. It's only then that we would realize how filthy and how fallen we are. Just like what Isaiah felt in chapter 6. Many speak about his glory, but they don't know what they're talking about. That's why this warning in the outline, God's warning about the coming of the day of the Lord, the terror of his judgment. This is a very important warning, not just for us, for the unbelievers, but for us. Since we know of the terror of the Lord. And other translations say the fear of the Lord. But it's not just the fear. Like I said, oftentimes to the heathen, oftentimes I say to the saints that we need a holy fear. Otherwise, we'll be doing a lot of things that we shouldn't, or we mustn't be doing. We Christians are also capable of doing many things. Oftentimes, many things that are not pleasing to him. It's truly so. Today, we must have in our heart a healthy fear. If not, when the Lord comes back, we have to partake in the day of the Lord and partake of his terror. We cannot describe this today. Paul said that since we know of his terror, we do all things that are well-pleasing to him. Because we know what would happen. If to give an account is not a pleasant thing. And besides, it's in front of the righteous God. That's why this warning is very important. Through this warning of Isaiah, we should all have a healthy fear in our heart. Because we still have our flesh, and oftentimes we'll be tempted and drawn to do something. But remember, when you do that, then you and I do something that we sin against him, then we have to give an account. Oh Lord, the terror of his judgment. And Isaiah is not just speaking in a general way, oh, the day of the Lord, but he made a lot of lists. Sometimes we speak in a very general way, because we actually don't know, or we don't want to know. We speak about the work of the flesh. Paul made a long list of the works of the flesh. Would you like to read the list in Galatians chapter 5? How many on this list can you tell me right now? Especially jealousy, strife. That's because we always fight among ourselves. In the church, Christians are always fighting. There's jealousy. And there's strife and jealousy. But there are many more on this list. And we see in front of this list is a pride. We want to be something. No. Today in Zion, we have to learn to lift up the Lord and no one else. And then against idolatry in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 8, the land is also full of idols, idolatry. Don't think that we're not idolatrous today. There's so many idols. Then the judgment of Jerusalem and Judah, we'll take a look at the outline so that we go on a little faster. How does God's judgment look like against Jerusalem and Judah? Perhaps we can read that. Lord Jesus, chapter 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store. The whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. If there's no longer bread and water, then the whole city would be ruined. It's truly so. This is the judgment of the Lord. You don't get any more bread from him. Suddenly there's no bread from heaven anymore. The word, the speaking of the Lord would be less and less. Of course, you can still read the Bible, but the Lord no longer speaks to you. You don't get any more food. Perhaps you still get teachings. But the food, this living food, the word, his speaking, you have to remember, and the Lord also quoted Moses, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The speaking of the Lord, the living word, the effective word, sharper than a two-edged sword, that is our food. That's why there's manna. It's daily manna. Don't think that if you just read a little bit of the Bible every day and that's good enough. No. This Bible, on one hand, it's the letter for you and gives you teachings and doctrines. You read and you understand it. It's fine and good. But that's the letter. Paul said, the letter kills. It does not give life. Knowledge alone even makes you proud. But the Spirit, it is the Spirit that gives life. And that is the ministry of the new covenant. That is the word. But the word is life, so effective in your daily life. It's nourishment that strengthens you. So this is how we live today, the bread. But if we're no longer one with the living God, in the end you might still speak so much or read so much about the Bible, yet you do not get any nourishment out of it. That is the judgment. And you will notice it. When the Lord speaks, or the scribes and the Pharisees speak, there's a big difference. Perhaps the vocabulary is all the same. But when the Lord speaks, there's power, there's effect, and there's light. It exposes us. And it enlivens us. Paul said, you want to know who it is in me who speaks, namely Christ. It is not Paul who spoke, but it was Christ. And the proof is when the Lord speaks, then the word is power, healing, light, and supply and nourishment for you. And you live from it. Then this word is mighty in us. Praise the Lord. But if we have offended him and we have sinned against him and we're rebellious, then the Lord would keep this food far from us. And water. What is water to us? The water is life. That is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is no longer there. You can speak a lot, but there's without the Spirit. Everybody would sense that the Spirit is not there. Truly so. I believe it's also your experience, right? People that are there, they did not notice it. But then when an outsider comes in, they would notice that the Spirit is no longer there. Suddenly, it became totally different. That is the judgment of the Lord. First, the Lord would take away the stock and the store. Yes, suddenly, they speak nonsense. One say, we don't need so many words concerning Christ, right? It's all unnecessary for us. We only need one verse in the Bible, and that's Galatians 1:27. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That man knows more than God. God gave us so many. Only one verse would be sufficient for us. It's Colossians 1:27. No need to read the Bible. What for? There's so many verses. It's superfluous. This theologian knows better than God. And he said, you don't need any more. We only need one verse. Isn't that the case? You only need one verse? It's so simple. The other verses? Oh, we don't need to know. I wish it were so simple. Isaiah. That's the Old Testament. Offerings? That's of the Old Testament. Feasts, to keep the feasts. And the Psalms? We don't need that. And the book of Daniel? It does not help us, of course. And Ezekiel? Much less. We need one verse. Why do they still hold the conferences if they only need that one verse? Oh, Lord Jesus. That is a judgment of God. God takes away every stock and store. And then it says the leadership taken away and replaced by children, babes, and women. Naughty boys would be leading them. Capricious people, the ones would be leading them. If, when all the faithful ones are taken away, not taken away, but chased away. Who should be there to lead them? Oh Lord, can we read that? Isaiah chapter 3. Perhaps I read it. Or should we read it all together? Let's read it all together. It's better. Beginning with verse 2. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes. That is not a good thing. And capricious ones shall rule over them, the babes. And later on, we'll see the people would be oppressing one another. Everyone by another. And the child will be insolent toward the elder. Because you're not allowed to say anything to them. You cannot correct them anymore. Do not give them any pressure. And just allow them to do whatever they please. Do you think such a condition is good? You corrupt the young people if you do that. I say this out of a painful heart. Oh Lord. The child will be insolent toward the elder and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, say, you have clothing, you be our ruler. Whoever has a clothing or a cloak on him, then he would be respected. What has become of your standard? And someone else says, we are all elders and you are all elders. Oh, is that okay? I don't see any boys here. Here's one. Here's one. They're all in the children's meeting. Otherwise, I give you some as an example. Oh, Lord. It's really even painful to read this and to see this. Lord Jesus. Sometimes I don't know whether it's good to read on.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord says here in verse 10, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked. Of course, he's talking about his people. Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. Just wait and see. As for my people, children are their oppressors, because the children were allowed to do whatever they please, and the women rule over them. That is not a good thing. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. That means they destroyed the proper way. We have the fallen leadership. This is what we wrote here. The leadership taken away and replaced by children, and they cause the people to err and destroyed the way of the proper paths. Of course, you want to mislead somebody, then you have to destroy the right way. You remember, a body is from head to foot. Brother Johannes gave me this proverb. If the fish begins to stink, it begins with the head. This is an idiom. It always begins with the head. Your leaders mislead you and cause you to err and destroy the ways of your path, the way of your paths. Let's read it here. We go on. Perhaps chapter 9. Let's skip over to chapter 9, verse 15. Verse 13. For the people do not turn to him who strike them. Therefore the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. Has caused them to err. And those who were led by them are destroyed. O Lord. This is always a problem. And the Lord said here, he wants to cut off the head and the tail. The Lord will do this. Don't think that the Lord won't do this. Who is the head here? The elders. And the honorable ones. Oh Lord Jesus. Exactly the same when the Lord comes back. The whole leadership, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests, the entire priesthood became fallen, and the elders. That's why all the people believed. And that's why they can say whatever they please and the people will believe them. Today, the people of God does the same thing. Whatever they say, these people say, they have to take it and believe it. But if you would question them and say that you're rebellious, then you're rebellious. That's how it is. And at that time, God already spoke so clearly through Isaiah. The fallen situation in those days is happening today with among us also. I've seen much of this in the last 50 years. If we had not gone through these experiences, we would not have understood Isaiah. Then we would say, what does this have to do with us? And once again, this has happened today. People are afraid to ask questions, to question. Oh, if you're asking questions, I might be thrown out too. But wait, brothers and sisters. The Lord would cut off the head and the tail. What does the Lord say here? The head is the elders and the honorable ones. And the tail, those are the false prophets who speak lies. And the whole people would be swallowed up. Oh, Lord. This fallen leadership. Caused the people to err. They swallowed up the path of righteousness. They hindered the way that God had ordained without fear. Amen. And then goes on to say, they destroyed, they burned up and wasted the vineyard and plundered the poor. Isaiah chapter 3. It's good to see this. Verse 14. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people. Don't ever think that the Lord would not do that. They have forgotten that there's someone who is higher than they are. The Lord is what? The Lord is the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Peter warned that if the chief shepherd appear, those who are good would receive a reward, but people like these, they would be punished. That's why do you remember? I kept telling the young people, don't be elders. Really so. I myself am not one. First Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
There.
Oh, well, yeah, and people even accused me of instigating the young people to become elders. I didn't say that. Please sign here. What a responsibility you have if you lead the whole people into error, you will receive much more stripes from the Lord. We should rather serve as slaves according to the measure of Christ, without position and without respect of persons in the church. Isn't that good? You'd be so healthy and you'll not be proud. I know someone somewhere in some church, I don't need to mention where, as soon as this brother was made an elder, overnight he became a very different person. I could hardly recognize him. It was some kind of a transformation. Something that happened overnight. We all have this bacteria, this virus in us. It's called the elder's virus. If you're not one, it does not work in you. But when you become one, suddenly this virus becomes active in you. I'm not joking here. I've seen so much. In those days in LSM, it was exactly the same. Do we want to repeat this today? Do we have no fear of the Lord? Have we not learned what we have seen ourselves? And we still want to believe what these people say? The Lord will judge them. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. You remember in the chapter 5, this is the Lord's vineyard. Our beloved. You have eaten up the vineyard, and the plunder of the poor is in your houses. The Lord caught them. Lord Jesus, what do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor? Says the Lord God of hosts. Oh, Lord Jesus. That is not good. You can read for yourself. And then in the end, the sisters become super strong. It's written here. It's written there that the women will rule in the church, and the brothers don't dare to say anything. Or? It's laughable. Oh, Lord Jesus. Isaiah wrote it so beautifully. He really wrote everything so precisely. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Verse 24. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. There will be a stench. It will be stinking. Instead of a sash, a rope. instead of well-set hair, baldness. Just like Paul said, then it's better that they shave their heads. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. They'll be sitting on the local ground. Isaiah talks about the ground. And the end, we end up just sitting on the ground. Fully plundered. And they'll be desolate and sit on the ground. The English version says they shall sit on the ground. Perhaps you never realize that in Isaiah the ground is mentioned. Let me tell you, Zion is much more than the so-called ground. Oh Lord, this is the judgment. I hope that we all would wake up. Amen. And this is good enough. So that we will still have appetite for supper tonight. I don't want to ruin your appetite. Perhaps we should still laugh a little bit in the end. Praise the Lord. Good. We could have a little prayer. Or do we want to sing a song? Lamentation. Please, don't sing a Lamentations before dinner. You have turned my morning into dancing. Let's sing that instead. Which, what's the number? You have turned my morning into song. 89, thank you. Hmm? 84, 84.